So first of all, what is enlightenment? Buddhist tradition of all schools speaks of enlightenment as comprising mainly three things. To begin with, enlightenment is a state of pure, clear, even radiant awareness. And some schools, some teachers go so far as to say that in this state, this pure, clear state of awareness, there is not experienced the duality of subject and object. There's no out there, there's no in here. That distinction, that subject-object distinction, as we usually call it, is entirely transcended. There's only one continuous, pure, clear awareness extending, as it were, in all directions, pure and homogeneous. And it's further an awareness of things as they really are, which of course is not things in the sense of objects, but things as it were, transcending this duality of subject and object. So that this pure, clear awareness is also spoken of as an awareness of reality, and therefore also spoken of too as a state of knowledge. Not knowledge in the ordinary sense, but of intuitive, spiritual, even transcendental knowledge. Not what we ordinarily understand as knowledge, which functions, of course, within the framework of the subject-object duality. We can speak of it, too, as a state of direct, of unmediated spiritual vision. A seeing of things directly and clearly and vividly and truly. A spiritual vision, even a transcendental vision, which is free from all delusion, all misconception, all wrong, crooked thinking, all vagueness, all obscurity, all mental conditioning, all prejudice, free from all these things. So a state of pure, clear awareness, of knowledge, of vision, spiritual, transcendental. And secondly, it's spoken of, no less importantly, as a state of intense, profound, overflowing love and compassion. And sometimes this love or compassion, which together with knowledge constitutes enlightenment, is compared to a mother's love, to a mother's love for her only child. This comparison occurs, for instance, in a very famous Buddhist text called the Discourse, the Sutra on Loving Kindness. And in this sutra, in this discourse, the Buddha says, in the same way that a mother feels for her only child, in the same way should my follower, should my disciple feel towards not just one person, not even just towards two or three people, but even to all living beings. This is the sort of feeling, this is the sort of attitude that one must cultivate, of love and compassion towards all living beings. And one notices that the Buddha says, not just all human beings, but all living beings. All that lives, all that breathes, all that moves, all that is sentient, all living beings. So the enlightened mind feels love and compassion in this way to all living beings throughout the universe. And that love and that compassion consists, we are further told, in a heartfelt desire, even a deep, even a burning desire, we may say, for their well-being, for their happiness. A desire that they should be free from suffering, free from difficulties, that they should grow, that they should develop, that ultimately they should attain enlightenment, Buddhahood. So love, compassion of this kind, infinite, overflowing, boundless, directed towards all living beings, this too is part of enlightenment. And thirdly, enlightenment consists in a state or experience of inexhaustible mental and spiritual energy. We see this very well exemplified by an incident in the life of Gautama the Buddha himself. As you perhaps know, he gained enlightenment at the age of 35, and he continued teaching and communicating with others until the ripe old age of 80. And his body, his physical body, eventually became very frail, and he said even on one occasion that my body is just like an old broken down cart, which has been repaired many times, and it is kept going only with the help of bits of string, as it were. He said, my old body is just like that. But he said, my mind is all right. He said, my mind is as vigorous as ever. And he said, even if I had to be carried from place to place on a litter, whoever came to me, I would be able to answer his questions. I would be able to teach him. He said, my intellectual and spiritual vigor is undiminished, despite the enfeebled state of the body. So energy, vigor, is characteristic of the state of enlightenment. The state of enlightenment is one of tremendous energy, of, we may say, absolute spontaneity, continually bubbling forth, a state of uninterrupted creativity. In a word, we may say, the state of enlightenment is a state of perfect, of absolute, unconditioned freedom, freedom from all subjective limitations. So this is what is meant by enlightenment, as it is understood in the Buddhist tradition. At least enlightenment, so far as it can be described, so far as it can be tabulated in this way. Really, we may say, knowledge passes into love and compassion. Love and compassion flow into energy. Energy too passes into knowledge. Knowledge into compassion. Compassion into energy. We can't really and truly split them up in this way. But traditionally, this is the sort of account which is given of enlightenment, just to convey to us some hint of this experience, some little idea or feeling of what it is really like. And if we want to have a better idea than this, then we shall have to read perhaps some more extended, more poetic account, preferably one found in the Buddhist scriptures, or we shall have to take up the practice of meditation and try to get at least a glimpse of this state of enlightenment in our own experience as we meditate. So this is what is meant by enlightenment in Buddhist tradition. When Buddhism speaks of enlightenment, of Buddhahood, or of Nirvana, this is what it means. It's speaking in terms of knowledge, love and compassion, energy,